let's look at a big story in the genetic sphere and ask what might be some of the deeper questions being asked by geneticists. This week's news story centres around attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, also known as ADHD, which is a neurodevelopmental disorder which typically presents with inattention, impulsive behaviour, and hyperactivity. For those that have been diagnosed or have been waiting a long time, purely hypothetically, the treatments would imply that ADHD is something of a detriment in this day and age. But this study, published in the journal Proceedings of the Royal Society B Biological Sciences, has a theory that not too long ago, such a genetic mutation may have been somewhat beneficial. Let's link back up with our genetics experts, Shivani Shukla and Erwin Scally. To start us off then, Shivani, would you mind talking us through what has to be one of the most out there methodologies that I've ever seen in really any study to do with genetics? What was going on and why were people foraging for berries?
So yes, it's definitely different to sampling skeletons. So this time they had an interactive video game online and they had a couple hundred of people essentially scavenge for berries on bushes, and it was under time pressure. So they could either stay at the same bush looking for berries, or they could move on to another bush, which used up time, but they may or may not find even more berries. So it was a trade-off between time spent and number of berries collected. And then they took the scores of these couple of hundred people and also then screened all of them for symptoms of ADHD, which currently in the UK we diagnose with the DSM-5 criteria. And it was found that people who displayed traits of ADHD actually scored higher and spent more time moving on to new pastures to look for berries, essentially.
So all these years when I've been told I get distracted too easily, that I could just have been retorting with, yes, but I'm going to find the next patch of good-looking berries sooner than a potential rival.
And more generally, it's an example of the kind of thing that we see quite a lot in evolution, where there is a particular trait, behaviour. It doesn't have to be behaviour. It could also be some other more physiological trait, something like, you know, risk of certain diseases that may actually have evolved in conditions where there was some benefit that came from that. Maybe there still is some benefit that came from that, but there's also a cost in other conditions or in other environments or at other times.
It's an interesting one because I suppose in many ways, and I think the study and the later conversation around it hinted that whilst ADHD is good for when you have rivals, it's less good for when you have to kind of attenuate berry collecting to seasons like our ancestors would have done. So again, there is still a trade-off there that you'll be better against people of your own species, but you might not be able to keep time so well when you need to know the seasons well enough to collect berries sort of naturally.
Yeah, and that's going to be true. I mean, that's going to be true of any adaptive trait, to be honest. It's always going to be a relative thing. Are you doing better in this condition, in this environment, than the people with the other version or with some other kind of behavior? And if so, then you'll have the advantage, but there might come a time where that's no longer the case, or might come conditions where it's not the case, and then you're at a disadvantage. One of the problems with trying to decide whether or not something has evolved like this is it's actually, people have found ever since Darwin that it's actually quite easy to come up with plausible arguments for why something was of benefit. Problem is that because it's quite easy to come up with these stories, that they sometimes are given the term just so stories because we're not sure if they're true or not. So how do you establish that actually something, this really was the cause, that there really was an evolutionary advantage that they came from this, rather than it just being some side effect or consequence of something else happening in evolution?
Not to put you on the spot here, but is there any answer to that?
There is some independent evidence, and that comes from genetics, from the genome. You can go and look. If you have some idea about what genetic factors are associated with this trait, so in the case of ADHD, we know that there are some genes, versions of some genes that are make you more likely to have ADHD, and therefore it has, you know, there are some heritable component. Not that they're entirely causal, there are lots of other factors involved, and environmental factors. But if you know that there are genetic factors, you can go and look at those gene variants and see, when did they arise? Can you date the time when those variants appeared or when they rose in frequency? And we can do that now because we have all of these genomes from people all around the world, and we've got ancient DNA, so we can actually go and look in many cases at genomes in the past, and we can see, did they have this particular gene risk allele? Did, you know, was it present at one point in time or at low frequency and then high frequency later? And people have done that, I believe, with ADHD, and I think they find that it's not so clear. In fact, these versions of these variants have been around for quite a long time. Neanderthals, for example, have the genes that we associate with ADHD. So It's actually something that maybe have been with us for a very long time in our evolution. It's not so clear that it evolved recently in response to changes in human population sizes or, subsistence strategies or something like this. So the story, I think, is still a little bit confused as to whether or not this explanation really holds.
And Shivani, from a medical side of things, because it's always been touted to me that ADHD is detrimental and it requires behavioral therapy or medication, regardless of whether or not it's an evolutionary advantage or not, does this kind of almost skew the way we look at it, and perhaps there should be more societal or medical shift in the ways that we look and treat this?
Absolutely. And I think not just for ADHD, but things like autism. It's interesting that the term disorder or disease are being used to classify these things, because I guess if you look at how society's changed, before it was better to be, stronger or faster when we had to hunt for our food, things that benefited that were selected for. And now society's moved to emphasis placed on things like intelligence or focus or, academia. So how can you say traits that benefit, certain jobs or how humans were tens of thousands of years ago and now a disorder? It's just sort of coming back to the fact that humans are different. Every human is different to the other human, and everything lies on a spectrum, and certain people are better at things than others. And in the case of autism, I mean, there have been studies showing that people with autism should really be really valued members of society. I mean, they can be proficient musicians or painters or have, really great focus and attention to detail, and probably will outperform someone who doesn't have autism on a variety of tasks and jobs. And likewise, for ADHD, it's definitely a condition that negatively affects a lot of children, and increasingly there are parents who are worried that their child isn't able to focus at school, and that's why I suppose medical professionals are quite quick to jump to things like medication or therapy, because they might feel that in comparison they need that to kind of stay on average. So I think the terminology disorder is wrong, and there shouldn't really be so much stigma in terms of having this diagnosis, and we should shift to how can we support these people better, or how can we align them to career paths that they're better suited to, because not everyone is good at the same thing, and that's what makes society function, I think.
Thank you very much, as usual, to Shivani Shukla and Aylwin Scally.